Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your help today to help me communicate, Lord, and help us to hear from heaven and hear the words that you have for us individually and as a church. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we, as you know, we've been reading the book and studying the book From Dream to Destiny. And we discovered that there are a lot of tests. Anybody having some tests? Yeah, there's still copies available. I do recommend you buy this book. It's one that you'll want to have in your library, and you can be reading it while we're talking and studying and learning. And then it's one you can refer back to later. Like, let's say you're having a problem with purity or pride or whatever, you can go back and just read, you know, at any time, just that chapter even. So we've had, so we've had the pride test, the pit test, the palace test, the purity test, the prison test. And today we're doing the prophetic test. Okay, prophetic. Ooh, you guys are good. Wow. All right, to start with, first of all, many of us have had prophecies given to us over the years, prophetic words spoken. Maybe you've never had a prophetic word spoken to you, so you're kind of going, huh? But there have been prophetic words spoken over us individually and as a church. Right, okay. Hi, kids. Sorry. Okay, there is children's church today, I'm assuming. Okay, so children, stand. Don't run. Just stand. Hello. Okay, all these great, great, wonderful kids. By the way, kids, don't forget Saturday is the Halloween party. And get, you know, let those molecules of excitement go ahead and buzz. And we want you to invite your friends. So just a little pre-excitement there. Okay, you may go to class. Yay. Bye-bye. Have fun. All right, moving on now. They'll get their good word in Super Kid Academy while we're getting our good word here. All right. So we've had prophetic words spoken over us as a church and both individually. Some of you maybe never have, and some maybe you're not sure. I encourage you that if you have a prophetic word spoken over you, write it down and at least get the essence of what it said written down over the years. And it'd be good to review some of the ones that you've received that you have from the past. But first of all, we're going to talk about the prophetic test and how does that apply to us and what is that really? First of all, we have to know that God does speak today. Some churches say that he doesn't. Some churches will say that God only spoke through his word and, you know, he hasn't really spoken since then. Well, I read a great thing in the actual book, and the man who wrote the book, Robert Morris, he was working for another pastor, and God was moving tremendously in their midst. And the denomination, you know, this was not usual, speaking in tongues and prophetic words and healings, etc. So the board decided to grill him, and they talked to him and said, you know, what is all this about? What's going on? So he told them, the Holy Spirit's coming in these ways. And he explained it, and they basically dissed the whole thing and said, that's not true. God doesn't speak today. He only spoke, you know, 2,000 years ago and through the Bible in the past and blah, 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 blah. So finally, the man that they were, the pastor, he was a pastor, who they were grilling, raking over the coals, literally, said, let me ask you a question. How did you get, because they were ministers too, how did you get your call to the ministry? Is it written in the Bible? And they were like, no, this is because, well, God spoke to our hearts. So, unfortunately, they even kicked him out of the denomination even after that. But sad story. But the truth, the point is that God does speak today. And he speaks to our hearts. He speaks through the word, but he also speaks to our hearts. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through the prophetic. You know, that's how God created the earth. Let there be light, Genesis 1:3. He wanted heavens and earth. That's what he said. When he wanted animals, he said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. So when he wanted, when God felt like something had to happen, he created it by his words. He wanted light. He said, He said he wanted man. He said, let us make man in our own, in our image. Genesis 1:26. So, you know, God speaks and he creates through speaking. So he creates by speaking to us too. So just keep that in mind. And then Hebrews 11:3 says, the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So it was the word of God that framed and created the worlds. And God brings things to pass by speaking. We have to understand that God and his word are one. Let's look at John 1. Okay. You don't hear the usual flip you used to hear when people were turning to their Bibles. Why? Why is that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God, you have to see here, mostly I want you to see that the Word equals God. Okay, the Word was God. All right. So everything that was made by God's word, and if it isn't made by God's word, it just simply doesn't exist. Okay? So to recap all those thoughts together now, when God wants something made, when he has a plan for something, he says it and he speaks it forth. And then power is released for that thing to happen or to be created. Okay, now concerning Joseph. Okay, now let's go over to Joseph again because that's who we're all studying. God had a plan for Joseph's life, and he already spoke it over his life before Joseph had the dreams. So I believe that's true of you. God's already spoken over you, over your life. He's got a plan for you. He's already spoken it. So that's very, gives us hope. And it is a good plan. Before Joseph ever had even one test, God had already spoken regarding the final outcome of his plan. The power of God's word had already been released to carry him toward his destiny long before he actually stepped into it. So we have a plan as well that God has for us, and he speaks it. I believe that he speaks it to you, whether you're always listening or hearing it, is where we have to work on our part. Okay? Whether if we get a prophetic word, we have to think about whether that was from God. And we'll talk more about that later. All right. So, okay. So God's word for our lives. First of all, you are called for a specific purpose. You're the only one who can do what he has called you to do. You know, there might be other people that do similar things to you or may have similar callings, but nobody is going to do exactly the way that you are to do it, your call. And it's up to each one of us to find out what the words are that he's spoken over our lives. And it's up to us to believe the prophetic words spoken, and it is up to us to obey him. Okay, nobody's going to obey him for you. All right? And somebody can tell you, I think you're called to this, and somebody can tell you, I think you're called to do this, but ultimately, you're the one who has to determine that, and you're the one who has to put all the thoughts together, all the words, all the encouragements, whatever anybody's ever given you. If you've ever had a dream that was from the Lord, it's up to you to believe the prophetic words and to figure it out. All right? Nobody's going to do it for you, and nobody's going to obey it for you either. That's a trick, you know. Boy, if I could have somebody obey for me, that'd be great. Sit back and watch TV. Eat potato chips. No. No, but we have to obey art for... Okay. So the prophetic test is, will we believe God's words and stand on them no matter what? And this is a test for each individual one of us. Okay, and I want to read what Joseph's word was, just as review. Let's go back to Genesis. All right, Genesis 37. I got to get a drink here. Okay. Okay, so let's start at verse 6 or 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So they already hated him, unfortunately, because there were issues in the family. You know, dad had, like, more than one wife. That's an issue right there. Then there are kids of the other wives trying to get along with kids of the, you know, this wife and that wife. And you can see how it just wasn't a good setup there. And so Israel favored Joseph above all the children, which, by the way, parents, don't do that, because that does cause problems. It does. This is a good example of how that causes problems. So, I mean, you may have a kid that maybe your personalities click a little bit more in your family, but don't favor one over the other. Okay, because that causes problems. Now, now Joseph had the dream. Okay, now verse 6. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Can you feel them getting tense and stiff? And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream. Oh boy. And told it. He's like, should I tell this one? And told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him because his father kept the matter in mind. Okay, now first of all, I want to just point out that I think the people back then were more spiritual, because today if you told this dream, if you had this dream, your brothers or sisters might think, oh, okay. Your parents might be going, okay, whatever. But they knew what it meant right away. There was no question. And, you know, the dad kept the matter in his mind. So he rebuked him, but he was thinking, there might be something to this. I'll just kind of log this word. Okay, which is something we need to do. If you get a word, sometimes you just need to log it and just kind of let it, remember it, but you have to, you can't just walk and do it sometimes. You have to just give it some time. All right. All right, so now Joseph had a prophetic test because the word was spoken to him through a dream. Okay, his prophetic word was given to him in dreams. That's how God spoke to him. You know, God might not speak to you in dreams. He might speak a totally different way. But I can promise you that God is speaking to you, because that's what he does. God speaks and things happen. So, and they didn't just stop, you know, at the end of the writing of the Bible. He still speaks today. He didn't lose his voice. He does not have laryngitis. So he still speaks today, and I guarantee you he's spoken to you sometime or other, or is speaking to you now, or is getting ready to speak to you. So be ready to hear and to put it together, put it all together. Okay, now, so Joseph had to make a choice to believe or to give in to despair, because as we know, then later his brothers were really jerky and evil, and threw him into a pit. They were going to kill him, but they thought they'd be nice. and just throw him into a pit instead. And then they thought, well, we'll even be nicer. We'll, you know, right. And they pulled him out of the pit, and then they sold him into slavery when those slave traders came by. So these are bad circumstances. So he was very tested, but so he had to make a choice to believe the word and not give up on it. So that was, I wanted to read that to you because you need to know what his word was, or just review that. All right. Now, Psalm 105, 17 through 19. Let's go there. Psalm 105, 17 through 19. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Okay, I want to read it again because it's really important. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time of his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Okay, so it says right there that he was tested by God. By God. All right. So we see that he was sold as a slave by his nice brothers. And he was in pain. He did suffer pain. It says that this was not just, you know, clamp the chains on and come with us. We're taking you to Egypt. You're our slave. No, something was so tight or so painful or so abrasive that I'm sure that he was really hurt badly by those fetters. Now, there are two, when it says, until the time of his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Those are two separate definitions there, and I want to define those for you. It's Hebrew, and the definition of word, as you see it, occurs twice in this verse. His word came to pass. Until the word came to pass, the word tested him. Okay, now the first one is the word debar. It means a matter spoken of, a spoken thing over to somebody, the prophetic. The second one is imrah. This means the word of God, a literal word, from a commandment, a literal word. Okay? So those are the two definitions. The words of the Lord are, okay, so let me just repeat that again. The first word is debar, and that is the spoken word, the prophetic word. The second word is imrah. That's the written word, the literal word of God. Okay, so there's two things happening here. The words are being, he's being tested two different ways. All right, and that will happen to you as well. So just kind of get ready and think about it. Process that. So I'm sure it's already happened to the majority of us already. And I just want to say, too, that, you know, we've been through some testing as a church. We've been through some testing individually. And so it's not by coincidence that we are reading this book right now. That's why it's very important for you to get the book. And if you're not going to get the book, it's really important for you to take notes or listen really carefully, jot down some things, because this is for us right now. Because there have been these tests in our congregation. All these tests have happened. And we've had individual tests this way. We've had corporate, as a group. So God is testing us, has tested us. But we're finding out, though, that if we don't give up, if we stay the course, that we're going to come into our destiny. And we're going to fulfill all. Okay, so stay the course. Stay the course. All right, now let's just see why God's words are so important. Okay, the word of God, the literal word of God, the written word of God, the words of the Lord are pure words. They're like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's Psalm 12:6. Then, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 18:30. So God's words are refined. They're pure. They're the stability of our life. They're the anchor of our lives. In this world, we know how screwed up everything's getting. you know, we know how people are not staying with the word. So it's so important that we know at these times in our life that we know the word. So now the actual meaning then, I would say, of Psalm 105:19 is, until the time that Joseph's prophetic word came to pass, the literal word of God tested him. The prophetic word is a test of faith. The literal word is a test of our character. So, and remember when last week I spoke to you about the priests, the Old Testament priests, they had the bells and pomegranates attached to their robes, and the bells represented the gifts and the anointing and the prophetic and all those things. The pomegranates represent the fruit and the character. So that really ties with this. So, you know, so keep that in mind, that it was the prophetic word that you have to hold on by faith. But then the written, literal word is what tests your character. The Bible is the word by which all other words from God must be measured. It is the final word on the subject. That is why it's so important that we know the word of God. Reading the Bible is the only way to know what God has said. We need to meditate on it, memorize it, and get to know it. If you call yourself a Christian, you will read your Bible. You have to face that fact. Okay. So, you know, the point is, we really can't say, we're living in a time, church, that we have to know our Bible, because there's so many other voices out there. And if we're not careful, we're going to get deceived too. So that's why we have to stay in the Word of God, because things are out there. There's so many influences right now, and different religions and different thinking and different philosophies and the television and everything. We just have to spend some time in the Bible day and night. You know, Brother Jerry Savelle says, day and night doesn't mean you have to be in the Bible all day and all night. It means, you know, morning and night, or sometime during the day and sometime at night. Just spend some time. Doesn't mean you have to be in the Bible like every second. But you do need to spend some time every day. Every day. So right now, I can guarantee you that everybody in this room is being tested by the Word of God. You're being tested by the Bible. You're being tested in your character. And reaching your destiny is directly related to how well you know your Bible. You know, you could think, well, yeah, you could think that you know what a Christian's supposed to be like, just because you kind of think that's the way it's supposed to be. Or you can think that you know what the Bible says just because you kind of think, well, that's what I've heard. But you know what? You can get way off if you're not actually spending time in the Bible. You know, you can think you're acting like a Christian, but maybe you're not, because you're not spending the time to really know the Word of God. The Bible is a book of life. It's full of life, and it shows us how to live. The Bible is life to those who find them, and health to a person's whole body. Proverbs 4:22. If you don't read the Bible, you might be violating it. You simply won't know how to live, because it's a book of life. You won't even know, perhaps, that you are violating it. You can't make progress if you continue to violate Scripture. And you can't reach your destiny without being full of the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. You might as well just be a pagan worshiping a tree or something somewhere, you know? I'm serious. If you don't know what the Bible says, you might as well just call yourself a pagan. And just, you know, I just worship all these random things, or I just think all these random things. Because the Bible is a steady, steadfast anchor. It's a rock. It's proven. It's tried in a furnace 7 times, the Bible says. You might as well make kings to some supposed queen of heaven, you know, like they did in the Old Testament. You might as well just do some goofy thing, you know, and we don't want you to do that. By all means. No, because that's not good for you to worship something else. But the point I'm trying to make is, you really need to get to know the Word of God. Because when you get to know the Word, you're getting to know Him. And you get to know him, you get to know the word. They work together. So that's how we know. Anyone who reaches his or her destiny is a person who knows the word of God. So if you want to be a person of destiny, you need to love your Bible. And it's full of life. I mean, we all, most of us, I'm sure, know that you can be reading along and all of a sudden, boom, something pops out. You know, it's like it jumped out at you. It just came alive. It's because the Bible is life. God is life. God is equals the Word. The Word is life. Okay, so the Word is testing you. The Word is testing your character, your faith. It's building you. It's bringing you to your destiny. God watches over His Word. Jeremiah 1:12. He watches over His Word to perform it. So that's, you know, He's invested. He's got an investment in His Word. He knows the power of His Word. He watches it because it's His. And it's the real deal. God's Word is real. It's true. It's stable. And He will watch over it to perform it. That means that the Word spoken over you too, the prophetic Word, He's watching over that to make sure it comes to pass. You know, but you have to do your part. It may never come to pass not because of God, but because of you. Nobody's going to hold back your destiny from happening except you. That's the real truth of the matter. You know, Joseph, he was tested. I want to say that it was important that we knew that God equals His Word and the Word equals God, because there was no Bible yet for Joseph. But he had God's presence at that time, because the Bible had not been made. And the scripture had not been written, so or given to Moses, etc. The Ten Commandments and the other parts of the Bible had not been given. So it was important that we know that Joseph was tested by God's presence. In the beginning, remember, it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was tested by His presence, which was the Word. That's what he had back then. And I think that's even more amazing, because we have the Bible, we have multiple Bibles, YouVersion and any kind you want, you know, you name it. We've got Bibles out the wazoo. Yay. And we got great teachings, but Joseph didn't have all that. So, you know, I just believe God just extra downpoured on him, and he had a heart for God. He really had a heart for God, so he heard from God. So we have the written word today as our standard, and we have to hold on to it. We also have the prophetic word, and we have to hold on to that as well. They work together like a coin with heads and tails. You know, you got two sides to a coin, but it all works together. God still speaks today through His prophetic word. He hasn't lost His voice, as I've said. Okay, so let's see what it says in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 says, Paul wrote, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good." So we see there that prophecies are important, but they are to be tested. But we are to hold fast to them, the good. All right, so we are to hold on to prophetic words, or not to just dismiss them. He speaks to us through these, in addition to speaking through His Word. Now, but there are some important things we need to know about the prophetic word. Okay, first of all, let's just look at some things to know about it. That's very important. Excuse me, I might get some more water. Okay, so number one, they are only part of what God is saying. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, "For we know in part, therefore we prophesy in part." Okay, so what we have to realize is we don't know everything. No prophetic person, no prophet knows everything. Only God does. So our prophecy isn't everything. It's a part. So if you've received a prophecy, just be aware that it's just part of the bigger picture. It's only a part of the puzzle. God sees the whole entire puzzle. All right. Now, the second thing we need to know about the prophetic words is there is always a human element to a prophecy. So 1 Corinthians 14:32 says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. See, that's why, because there needs to be a judging of them, because there's always a human element. You know, that's, we only see through a mirror dimly. You know, this life is sometimes a little vague. So that's why God, you have to realize that your prophecy is only part of the picture. So if you've received a prophecy, just kind of add it to the other things God's told you in your life. A prophecy should be given to encourage you. If it's just beating you down, it's probably not a real prophecy. If it sparks something in your heart and you know it rings true inside of you, or, you know, even if you're not sure, God doesn't say you have to jump into that prophecy in 2 seconds. You can always kind of do what Israel did. He thought about it. He remembered it until the time was right. All right. Now, another thing about understanding prophetic words is a prophetic word must be submitted to the bigger word. The perfect word of God, your Bible. It has to be submitted to your word, the Bible. Okay, when you get a more complete picture when you put your prophetic word together with the written word, when they go together. All right, as we said, it's only, your prophetic word is not everything. It's only part. And sometimes, you know, actually sometimes God doesn't give you the whole thing because he wants us to walk by faith. And so sometimes he doesn't tell us everything or show us the whole picture, because while we're in this flesh, we have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. So the prophetic words are a part, and they are to be judged. Okay, so they are to be spoken, but they also are to be judged. Okay, and why is when humans speak under the prophetic influence, there is always a human element involved. So it is up to us to judge what is truly the word of God and what is the human part. So here is an analogy that he says in the book. If you have a hose with water and you're cleaning a window screen, or are the waters flowing through a screen, you can liken the water as being the pure word, God's pure word, spoken, prophetic word. And the screen is being our human spirits. Sometimes screens are dirty. Sometimes they have cobwebs on them and flies and moths and dirt. Especially at our house because we live out in the country. So the water will have to go through some dirt when it comes out on the other side. So we need to learn to discern what is the dirt from the screen of the person who's giving the word, and what is the pure word that is coming from God. And I think that will help you when you understand that if somebody's prophetic gives you a word, you know right up front, they're not perfect, they're a human, they're not God. And so you're not like closing your ears to the word, because it could be, you know, something God really has for you. So, you know, listen and pay attention, but be aware that there's that human screen that it has to go through, which might have some dirt in it. Same thing with things like dreams. We all have dreams. Which ones are the ones from God? You know, which ones are just the pizza you had the night before? Too late, you know. Which ones were just a bad day or bad week that your mind is trying to process through? So, you know, that's why dreams, you have to kind of log them, think about them, maybe talk to a trusted Christian about them, get their input. So anything prophetic while we're in this human flesh has to go through some kind of screen. So how do we judge prophecy? Okay, first of all, no, it needs to be judged. You just don't buy it, you know, hook, line, and sinker, you know. It does need to be judged. You hold it up to the Word of God as the standard. A true prophecy will never contradict the Word of God. If it ever contradicts the Word of God, it is not the voice of God through the prophecy. It's not the voice of God. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy 13. Verse 1 through 3. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Okay, so here we see that this prophet prophesied and signs and wonders even happened. But the word was wrong. It was, go after other gods. That does not match God's word. So that's an example of testing a prophecy. It will never contradict the word of God. It should never contradict, even if signs and wonders. That's kind of shaky and a little scary, because you think, well, how could a sign and a wonder happen, you know, if it wasn't from God? Apparently it does. And we know that from the story of Pharaoh in Egypt and all the duplicated signs that the wizards were doing. We know that that can happen. So God never contradicts himself, neither should a prophecy contradict the word. Okay, so, and then notice that in that verse that I just read, it calls it a test. Because God will test us. God's going to test us to see if we will love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Will we hold fast to the word of God no matter what? Are we trying to hold on to something other than him? You know, I've actually heard people in this church who say they have a word, and I'm not letting go of my word. I'm not letting go of my word. Okay, great. But you got to hold on to God's word above that. You know, that God's word is first. And then if that prophetic word matches, then go ahead and hold on to it. But don't get them flip-flopped. You know, you've got to hold on to the word of God, the Bible, the living word, then the prophecy is, you know, added onto that. And just remember, they've got to be judged. So don't feel bad if you judge a prophecy. If you think, I'm not so sure about that one, go ahead and judge it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to judge it. That's what we do with prophecies. Okay. So a prophetic test then is when you have a prophecy, a dream or impression from God, a specific prophetic word that someone gave you, you will be tested while it is coming to pass. And it is scripture that will test you, and it will test your character. All right? I think it helps, for me at least, it helps to know that you're good, these tests are what God does, and that they're normal, and that's what he's trying to do, is work character into this. If you know that right up front, then you don't get like as shook up when these tests happen, because you know what God's, at least you have a better picture of what God's doing in your life. Another way to judge prophetic words are by your inner witness. Hold it up to what God is saying in your own heart. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So our human spirit recognizes the Spirit of God when he's talking. And that's why you have to walk with God too, because you can hear goofy things or get mixed up or not, you know, hear right. That's why it's important to be in fellowship, be here, be reading the word, be studying, because then the inner witness becomes easier for you. if you're not doing those things, you're not sure. If you're not following the word, if you're just, what am I hearing? Well, I guarantee you, Satan's going to throw some things for you to hear out there. So that's why you have to stay close to God and close to your brothers and sisters here. Now, if you get a word and you're not sure, like I said before, put it on the shelf. If it doesn't quite agree with what you think God's saying to you, and you're not sure, like I said before, you don't have to act on it. You can weigh it. You can put it on the shelf. You can pray over it. Talk to Mark. Talk to Matthew. Talk to me. I'll do what I can to help you. We'll do what we can to help you. Some of the Christians who've been serving the Lord here in this body, you know, for a long time, they'll help you out. So, you know, if it doesn't agree with what God's speaking to you personally, then you have to really weigh whether it was from God or not. Or maybe you're not sure what God's really saying to you, and you need to spend some more time finding out and getting secure about that. There are other stories in the Word that time, I believe, is preventing us from doing them. But there's many stories, the Rechabite story. They obeyed. I'll just briefly say what happened there. Their dad said, no, you can't drink wine, was it? And a prophet said, you can drink wine. And it was a very well known, I think it was Jeremiah even. But their dad had said, no, we don't do that in this family. Well, they obeyed their dad over the prophet. And that was the right thing to do. And in the end, God was testing them. And that's a tough one when a prophet like Jeremiah comes and says. And then Hezekiah, that story as well. He was supposed to die, according to the prophet. But he asked God for, I think it was 15 more years. And God honored him over the prophet. Why? Because of God's mercy. You know, and because Hezekiah humbled himself. So a prophecy can, God can choose to change a prophecy by seeing a humble heart, by seeing repentance, by seeing a heart yielded to God, and because of his mercy. I believe that would be more of a prophecy that's a warning kind of prophecy. If you have been astray, you know, when we're reading all the Old Testament books of the prophets, how many times did they say, you need to turn back to God or this or that's going to happen? So I believe it's more that kind of prophecy that God, that's my personal opinion right now, is that that's what God will change because of his mercy and the repentance factor. So we need to hold on to those prophetic words, and even if circumstances are completely contrary to what God spoke in our lives. We saw that Joseph did that, thrown in prison more than once. He held on to his prophetic word. He held on. He didn't stop believing it. And what would the entire world be like today if Joseph had let go of his prophetic word? Wow. One man. He was a man of destiny, and it all began with a prophetic word. He held on through all the trials. He held on to the word God gave him about his future, that it would be fulfilled. 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 through 21 says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to what is good. So we are to test them, as we spoke earlier. Okay, now holding on is going to require effort. Like I said, you may have a prophetic word, but it may never come to pass because you're not doing your part. It's going to require some effort. You have to press on. Philippians 3:12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Think of Paul. He had a specific purpose. He said those words. Paul wants more than anything. His desire was to lay hold of that purpose that God had for him. But he had to push forward. He had to resist. He had to exert some effort if he was going to hold on to the word that God spoke over his life. than we are. 1 Timothy 1:18 says we are to wage a good warfare by prophecies given. Paul said to Timothy that holding on, was saying, hold on to your prophetic words. It's absolutely critical, Timothy, to fulfilling God's call in your life. By holding on to these words, Timothy was able to wage a good warfare on the devil and keep his conscience clear and fight the good fight of faith. Within that same verse section there, it was 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20. There were two guys that didn't do that. Himenaeus and Alexander. I always think, wouldn't that be sad to have your name in the Bible as the bad example? For all time, you know, they did a bad job. Oh, Lord. So, but they did not hold on to the prophetic words of God. They rejected them. And it says that they suffered shipwreck. They did not reach their destination in God. They were turned over to Satan. So Paul is actually saying that rejecting a true word from God is blasphemous. These are strong words. And there are strong consequences to them for rejecting the prophetic word God spoke over your life. So we see, you know, both are important. You know, prophetic words are not to be dismissed. They are very important, but they have to be submit. They have to submit under the written word of God. So let's hold on. Let's hold on. Let's not allow circumstances to keep us from fulfilling our vision. You know, God has a plan for each one of us. We just need to hold on until the prophetic word of God comes to pass in your life. The written word of God is testing you. I'll just say that again. And remember, that was from Psalm 105. Until the prophetic word of God comes to pass in your life, the written word of God is testing you. Do you feel like you're being tested? Have you been tested? Dig into the word more. Don't go away from the word just because you're being tested. Get into it more. Study, meditate, memorize it. Because God wants you to pass the test. Because he does have a destiny for you. So if we're going to hold on, we got to hold on so we can pass the prophetic test. So we're going to pray right now. Because God wants every word spoken over your life to come to pass. So let's just stir ourselves up and let's just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just encourage everybody, including myself, to begin to just jot down. I encourage you this week to just review some prophetic words that have been spoken over your life. And if you're not sure, even write down things that, you know, you believe God said in your heart. Things that have been in your heart that you're maybe still judging whether they're from the Lord or not. Maybe you're not sure. But I encourage everybody this week to begin to write down, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets so you can run. You know, we don't want to go through life and not have done all that God has planned. So I'm just encouraging us and exhorting this church. Let's do that. I'm going to have to do it too. Write down these things and review anything you know that God's spoken to you. And if you didn't write everything down in the past, just, you know, ask the Lord to remind you of the key part, the key point that was spoken over you. You may not remember every little detail, but he can bring back to mind some of those key things that were spoken to you. So thank you, Father. Let's just keep praying. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just pray right now for grace and mercy on our lives, Father. And we pray, Father, for your help to remember any prophetic things that have been spoken to us, any prophetic dreams that we've had. Father, I pray for discernment to weed out, to be able to separate the precious from the vile, Lord. If there's anything that really isn't from you that's been spoken over us, help us to just put those aside and see the difference. Father, I pray for this congregation, Lord, that we as a family here, Lord, could get more attuned to you, Lord, that you would awaken in us the prophetic in balance, Lord. Put it into the balance of the character. Father, make our lives balanced, Father, of fruit and anointing and character. Praise the Lord. Let's, ushers, if you could get communion ready at this time. All right. Thank you, Lord. Let's just prepare our hearts. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. One of the things we don't understand, maybe we understand it mentally, but we don't really live it out, and that is that you're living in the middle of a prophetic word right now. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we look at life, and we say, there's not much spiritual happening. Well, I tell you what, when Joseph was in prison, there wasn't much happening spiritually. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and he was the head slave, he still was a slave. You know, there wasn't much spiritually happening. And so we need to understand that your life right now, you may feel like there's nothing happening much in my life right now. Oh, there is something working. You see, God is a prophetic God. Everything God does in working in your life today is preparatory for what he's going to do tomorrow. And that's why this whole thing about hearing the word of the Lord and then allowing the word of the Lord to test you, you're being tested right now. This church is being tested right now. And I don't understand why it's been such a long test. I don't understand that, but I want you to understand that we're in the middle of a test. But I want you to also understand that if you'll hang in here, you're going to see the finality of the test, and you're going to see the result on the other side. Now, I don't know how long that's going to take. I hope it doesn't take another 10 years. I mean, I hope not. I mean, we have every reason to believe that a flash flood of God's favor is about ready to overtake us. And we have every reason to believe that that favor flood is going to change the very landscape of our spiritual lives and our natural lives on some level. And guys, I want to encourage you in some other areas, and that's this. As we're getting ready to receive communion, guys, Jesus himself, well, Paul and Jesus are talking in 1 Corinthians, and Jesus said, you know, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. And then he said, and after this manner, take this cup. And Greg, just hang on there for a second. Yeah, you're fine. And he said, I want you, often as you do this, what are we doing? We're showing forth, my goodness, isn't this amazing? We're going to show the Lord's death until what? So as every Christian today around the world, most of them, I'm sorry, guys, most of us are kind of. But I want you to understand something. In receiving communion today, you're showing the Lord's death until he comes. So it's a prophetic thing. When you receive communion, you are declaring, at least God understands it, and the world doesn't have a clue, but the devil understands it. As we receive communion, we're saying we believe Jesus is getting ready to come back.
Now what that does,
see, if I believe that, I'm believing a prophetic word that Jesus is coming back. But what that does now is it causes the word to work in me, and I see my life's not ready for Jesus to come back today. So what it does is it works on my character, and I start thinking, my sin broke his body. And my sin caused his blood to be shed for me. And that tells me I better start living a little differently. That tells me I can't live like I used to live. Because you see, there's a destiny. There's a prophet. I'm trying to give you the broad prophetic thing here, guys. He's coming back. Now, this is what I believe. And I know some of you might, I tell you what, the church today believes so many goofy things. There's going to be some Christians I think are going to be surprised the rapture is going to happen and they're not going to go. Because they're not ready. The Bible says there'll be no fearful. It says there'll be no fornicators. It says there'll be no liars. Don't raise your hand, but are you ready to go? We used to have an old Pentecostal preacher lady here in church years and years and years ago. And she used to say, I'm paid up, prayed up, and ready to go up. Are you paid up, prayed up, and ready to go up? We hold in our hand the body of Jesus broken for us. And you're going to, as you receive this, you're saying, Jesus, I believe you're coming back, and I'm going to live godly. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to get my life right with you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my life right with you, because, Lord, you did everything you could do to die and to give me an opportunity to come to heaven. I don't want to disappoint you. This is the body of Jesus broken for you. Let's receive it right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we believe he's coming back. We believe he's coming back. We believe he's coming back. Oh, I got too many things to do. Oh, I tell you what, you better put all those things aside. I tell you what, when the church leaves this place, it won't be worth being here. The body of Jesus broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Oh, let's receive it with confident expectation of his soon return. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. You know, if you receive communion by faith, I have great confidence to tell you your sins forgiven. That's a good thing. You know, Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. And I believe there's a great thing he's got in store for us. And you know, we do a number of things around here. Patty, I guess you can come back up because I might start preaching. One of the things we do is we really have a prophetic call on our lives as a church. And I was talking with someone this week, and we were sharing some things. I was sharing some issues and things I'm wrestling with. And, you know, the word of the Lord came to that person, just said, you know what? Mark's standing in an intercession. And I went, oh, really? Oh, great. Sometimes I miss him. Believe it's right. Believe it's right. Our church is in the middle of one. One of the things we do, God calls out people. He calls out churches. And one of the calls upon this ministry is to believe him for souls from every nation. I don't know how many of you are actively believing with us for that, but there are a few of us who are believing. And, you know, I remember one time we did a Spanish service. Remember that? Wasn't that great fun? And I remember one time we did a German service. Wasn't that great fun? No, that was great. Pastor Daniel comes back, we're going to have a Nepali service. Now, let me just say some things to you. I want to articulate something to you. Can I articulate it to you? It's funny because we do a Spanish service and it upsets somebody. Do a German service, it upsets somebody. If we do a Hebrew service, it upsets somebody. Well, let me tell you why it upsets people, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. No. I mean that in a positive way. You know, I believe that if you come to America and you're not an American, weren't born in America. Matter of fact, I wish Americans would assimilate and be Americans. Good grief. America is an exceptional country because God made us exceptional. Why do you think everybody in the world wants to come to America? Because we are exceptional. Are you saying we're better than another nation? Yes. We are an exceptional nation for this reason. God founded us, and there's a liberty here that allows us to achieve our dreams. That's why we're exceptional. And that's why everybody and his brother wants to come here. Now, this is what's happened in America. We kick God out, and we are fading as an exceptional nation, but we are still so more exceptional than most nations, people want to come here to experience the exceptional. But because now God is not first, they come and don't assimilate. See, when my ancestors came, we quit speaking Celtic and started speaking English. We quit speaking Swedish and spoke English. We quit speaking German and started speaking English. Today they don't. So in Los Angeles, they have to teach school, public schools, 47 different languages. That's wrong. Should be one language, one people. Now, with that said, that's what I believe. Now I want to talk to you about why we're going to start doing more and more languages in service. They should be learning English. No, they shouldn't. Because we're in a godless country. So here's it. Should they learn it? Yes, I hope they do. If I was a Spanish speaker, native, and I lived in America, I would do my business. I would leave the door kissing mi esposa in Spanish, walk out the door. Don't correct me, please. I would walk out the door and start speaking English. You got it. Now, in here we are. We come to church to make intercession. When we do a service in Spanish, it's not to placate the Spanish speakers. It's to make an intercession for the Spanish-speaking world. When we pray for, when we have a German service, it's not, listen, not to placate the German speakers. It's to make an intercession for the German-speaking world. If there's 10 of us, there's 10 of us doing it. Do you understand? No, I'm not mad at anybody. But this is part of the test. It's part of the test. We're going to have a German service. I'm not going to go. You're missing the test. I had somebody mad, upset. They weren't mad. They were upset about us doing German, and you can never mix German and Israeli music or Jews music together. And that morning, Dwayne was leading, and he did a Jewish song, and he did a German song, and I went, yes. He didn't know what was going on. That happened before service. I thought, glory to God. Here we go. If you speak Swahili, we'll do a Swahili service. So get ready for more of these kinds of things. It's part of our test. We got to pass the test. If you don't want to pass a test with me, that's fine. We're going to pass the test. And learn a few words along the way. You know, I used to go to German services, been to Hungarian services, been to Romanian services. There were some trips I've taken. I didn't know which country I was in. After a while, it all blurs together and you're worshiping, but you can still worship. I don't have a clue what they're saying. And my mind, the way my mind works, I hear the tune, I know the tune, I remember the tune, but I can't remember the words. Because all I'm hearing is this thing in some language. I have no clue that they're speaking. What is that song? Oh, well, glory to God, I'm going to worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Patty, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do all that. We're going to pass the test? Let's pass the test. Let's pass the test. Let's have a heart for the whole world. You know, I can't wait till we got some. I can't wait till it's not Christina wearing a sari. It's our Hindi brethren wearing saris. I mean, she's stylish, but she's doing this for an intercession. And I can't find my prayer shawl. I think it got kiped. I think somebody kiped my prayer shawl when we used to have an office. Listen, this young man is living at an intercession. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I don't have one like that. Well, will you just come and worship with us and we worship the Lord? And God will put something in your heart to pray for. Praise the Lord. We're going to pass the test. We're going to pass the test. I don't know what it looks like tomorrow, but we're going to do the best we can to pass the test. Amen.
That's great. Praise the Lord. Let's get ready for tithes and offerings. Cheerful hearts ready? Getting your cheerful heart ready? Okay, Don.
So, what do I have over here? Which is, has what in it?
Money.
Money. What do I have over here? What does the word say? Matthew 6:25. I should open it. It says, you cannot... We'll open it because, yeah, we're not good. Let's get it. So it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one and hate and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And mammon. That's next week. You can't be over here and serve this and profess this as well.
That's right. Come on.
The only way this works is if you serve this first and this comes into line with it. Okay? The tithe, we sang it this morning, the only place you're free is in God's will. The prophetic word to you today is in this word. I don't even have, it's not even me. It's written. It was written how long ago? And it works. It's alive today. It's speaking today. And it's Malachi 3. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's your prophetic word. If you need something else, can't give it to you. It's right here. It's this word is prophetic. You don't need for me to speak a prophetic word over you. You need this one first. So, don't serve money first. It's only a tool. What you put in the offering plate, what you put in those envelopes that the ushers are passing out to you now as you raise your hand, is going to burn. They burn it every 9 months, for goodness sakes, at the Treasury in Washington, D.C., or wherever they burn that stuff. It burns. They burn millions every day. They do. I don't know how long the coins last, but, you know, it's just paper. and yet we place such importance on it. Serve this first, and then this will make sense. And if you are worried about this first, you are not serving the Word. If you are more concerned about Jesus, I don't have enough money to pay my tithe with, well, then you're more concerned about this than you are this. The Word comes first. Okay? So does anybody need an envelope? No? Wow, we're good. So if the ushers could start passing the buckets, we'll pray over it. And Lord, we thank you today that it is the Word that we stand on. It is not the prophetic word that comes first. It is your written word. Lord, we thank you that the tithe that Lord, help us to commit to loving you first, to put first things first, and then the money will make sense to us. Father, we'll have our priorities right. Like Job said, we'll cast those that gold and silver in the water, and we'll walk on it. It won't mean anything to us, Father, because you will be our silver and gold. You will be our defense and not money. Father, thank you today for the tithes and the offerings that people have worked for and sweated over and cried over and just, Lord, labored. And Father, I thank you for that sacrifice today. And I thank you for seeing it. And I thank you for being glorified in it. Lord, that the kingdom would expand through these tithes and offerings today. Thank you, Lord.